Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 160, stanzas 1 through 4. O God, give ear unto my cry, and to my voice attend. Though far from home and from thy house, to thee my prayers ascend. 1 through 4 of Psalter 160. for this afternoon hour can be found in the book of Numbers, the 16th chapter, beginning with verse 23 to the end. Numbers 16, beginning with verse 23 to the end. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, and was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Numbers 16, beginning with verse 23. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the congregation, saying, Get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, Depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. So they get up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives, and their sons, and their little children. And Moses said, Hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth, and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods, they, and all that appertained to them, went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, Lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord, and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Eleazar the son of Aaron the priest, that he take up the censers out of the burning, and scatter thou the fire yonder, for they are hallowed. The censers of these sinners against their own souls. Let them make them broad plates for a covering of the altar, for they offered them before the Lord. Therefore they are hallowed, and they shall be a sign unto the children of Israel. And Eleazar the priest took the brazen censers, wherewith they that were burnt had offered, and they were made broad plates for a covering to the altar, to be a memorial unto the children of Israel, that no stranger, which is not of the seed of Aaron, come near to offer incense before the Lord, that he be not as Korah, and as his company, as the Lord said to him by the hand of Moses. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, Ye have killed the people of the Lord. And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, and that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, Take a censer, and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun. And Aaron took as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense, and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700, beside them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal Lord, Thou art so holy, and Thou art so righteous and just in all Thy ways. Thou canst not look upon iniquity, and Thou wilt punish all sin. But we have no impression thereof by nature. We do not believe it. And we go on in that state and condition that we have been born, just as if there shall be no judgment, just as if we shall never have to give an account for all that we have done, for all that we have spoken, and for all that lies within our hearts. Oh, how wretched and how miserable that we have become in our deep fall, that we are so blind to our wretched state and condition, with no impression of the great danger wherein we stand, as we have also made confession that we believe that Thou art coming again to judge the quick and the dead. Oh, give to us in this afternoon hour, in Thy house of prayer, a little impression that we may learn to hasten for the sake of our life. Oh, that we may not be left over to ourselves. Lord, we have also made confession. I believe in the Holy Ghost. Oh, we beseech Thee that Thou would come forth in this day, Thy holy day, and work in the midst of us to give that new birth, to give that new life, to give that true repentance, to give that true mourning over sin, that we may understand, that we might learn what we are, that we may turn away from our iniquity, that we may make a supplication at Thy throne of grace. Oh, that mercy that is to be had while we are still alive, that it may be the desire of our heart, and that we could not let Thee go except Thou bless us. Lord, Thou hast sent Thine only begotten Son into this world to seek and to save that which is lost. And we and our dear children are in that state and condition by nature. Oh, this we beseech of Thee, and that that may be applied still in the days that we live in, and when the ends of the world are come upon us and upon our children, that Thou would show Thyself to be the same yesterday, today, and forever, that Thy power may be experienced, and not in the way of that righteous judgment to cast us away forever and forever, and to deal with us as we so justly deserve, but that Thy power may be experienced in the application of that blessed mediatorial work of Thy dear Son. Oh, that He may become altogether lovely in our sight. He whom of whom we see no form and no comeliness by nature, and of whom we have no desire to bow under all His ways, of whom we will not receive help because we can help ourselves. Oh, show to us and give us that feeling realization, Lord, of our wretchedness and of our weakness. Oh, make us to see that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and that before Thy judgment seat, oh, then we shall not have one answer to 1,000 questions. Lord, bind it upon our hearts. We can give ourselves nothing. We are of the earth, earthy. We are of yesterday, and we know nothing. And we are so empty of all the things that are good, anything of that true spiritual life by nature. Oh, Thou givest it unto Thy church in a little measure here below. Remember them also, then they need to be further instructed in the way of free and sovereign grace, because it is a people
and that also are so tied to that old covenant. And Lord, they have no eyes to see unless thou dost open them, and they have no ears to hear. Oh, they can see nothing of that way that is opened in thy dear Son. Thou art so hidden so often unto that people. But Lord, wilt thou show thyself in this day, and wilt thou reveal thyself that they may see that thou hast made a way when they have closed all the ways. Oh, that thou may show them a little bit of that way of deliverance in and through that mediatorial work. Oh, then they shall rejoice. And when thou wilt open it unto the one, oh, then the others also may hear, and they shall rejoice in thy work. Lord, could it please thee to remember us? We are so dependent upon thee for everything that is good, for everything that is from thy kingdom. Oh, then it is thy holy day. Lord, we beseech thee for a little crumb out of the table of the Master. Oh, that we may be fed with those things that will satisfy truly. Remember all those that need thee in special ways, and all the needs and the cares of this life, all the afflicted and the sick ones, and those that mourn in these days, all widows, widowers, and orphans, and all that go over this life alone, those that have difficulties and troubles, husbands and wives, all where sin has brought a breach in this world. Lord, thou hast created us and brought us together in a way that was so different. But our sin that has brought difficulties and that has brought troubles, oh Lord, give us. And then to learn more and more to deny ourselves, to love one another, and to have that feeling impression that we have but a short time here below, that we are traveling with our dear children to a never-ending eternity. Oh, give children love for one another. Give them obedience to their fathers and their mothers. And cause us all together to seek thy face. Remember all those that have needs of the body and of the mind, and that feel the weakness, those that come to old age, and that have difficulties and troubles. Strength and uphold, give also to feel the frailty of life, and that this life that is but a shadow, and that it is soon passing away. Wilt thou look upon all those that do travel in these weeks? Remember also him that may be among us in the weeks that have gone by from the old country, and who hopes to return again in the week that is to come. Lord, wilt thou remember him in traveling, bring him safely to his destination again, but remember him also in the loneliness of his life, and could it please thee to visit him from above, and that he may experience something of thy fullness. Wilt thou be with all that wait upon thy blessing, thy servants, and that go over this world, that are sent forth truly by thee. Oh, send forth more servants into thy vineyard, who may have laid upon their heart the need of the people, and those that may truly be converted and called forth and sent by thee. And thou hast given that the Senate may be to gather in the week that is gone by. Wilt thou bless all that has taken place in that meeting? And wilt thou remember us as a denomination? Oh, cause us, Lord, to return unto the ways of our fathers. And may thou lead us in that truth and that thou hast taught unto them. And oh, do give that thy people may be led further in those steps of grace that our fathers have written of, and that we may not be left to go our own ways according to our own sinful hearts. Wilt thou go before us then in this afternoon hour? Then we hope to bring thy holy word according to what our forefathers have laid out for us. Lord, wilt thou give in this day thy testimony of the truth of it? Oh, that it may find a place in the heart of thy children, and that they may receive instruction, but oh, may it also be bound upon the heart of many amongst us. Oh, yea, leave not one of us behind as we go to eternity. Oh, come, Lord, fill us with thy Spirit, with wisdom, discretion, and understanding, simplicity, love, and grace. Glorify thy name. Forgive and keep us from all iniquity, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 129, stanzas 1 through 5. Rejoice, ye people, homage give, to God with voice of triumph sing. He ruleth in dread majesty, the great, the universal King. The extra collection at the last song today is for the building fund. Psalter 129, stanzas 1 through 5. Thank you.
Congregation, what an awful punishment we read has come upon Korah, Dathan, and Abiram with their children. That is, that they were swallowed up of the very earth, that they have gone down alive, quick, into the pit. And what for? It was because they have set themselves against the servants of the Lord, those that have been called, those that had been anointed by Him. And then those princes, when they have joined themselves to Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, how that they were swallowed up of fire from the Lord. And then what do we read happened the following morning? Then the following morning, we can read here that all the congregation murmured against Moses and Aaron. And why? Ye have killed, we read, the servants of the Lord. Then they were angry. Angry because of that punishment of the Lord. Then they could not accept what the Lord had done. That they are calling it an unjust punishment. And then also this murmuring, the Lord has seen and heard, that the Lord has at once come again to send His punishment, to send His plague against the children of Israel. Oh, how we ought to stand in awe. We shall in the last day have not one word to speak about the punishments of the Lord. But in our life, we often have no impression of the greatness of the majesty, the holiness, and the justice of the Lord. So that our heart is no different than the heart of these men who have murmured against the Lord. And we wish to consider this together with the Lord's help in this afternoon from Lord's Day 4. Lord's Day 4, questions 9 through 11. Lord's Day 4, questions 9 through 11. Question number 9. Doth not God then do injustice to man by requiring of him in his law that which he cannot perform? Answer, not at all. For God made man capable of performing it, but man, by the instigation of the devil, and his own willful disobedience, deprived himself and all his posterity of those divine gifts. Question 10. Will God suffer such disobedience and rebellion to go unpunished? Answer, by no means. But he is terribly displeased with our original as well as actual sins, and will punish them in his just judgment, temporally and eternally, as he hath declared, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Question 11. Is not God then also merciful? Answer, God is indeed merciful, but also just. Therefore, his justice requires that sin, which is committed against the most high majesty of God, be also punished with extreme, that is, with everlasting punishment of body and soul. So far, our Lord's Day. God's punishment of sin. First, this punishment is according to his justice. Second, this punishment is certain of fulfillment. And third, this punishment is consistent with his mercy. God's punishment of sin, this punishment is first according to his justice. This punishment is second certain of fulfillment. And this punishment is third consistent with his mercy. Last week, congregation, then we heard that awful question. Did God then create man so wicked and perverse? Just as if God might be the very author himself of that sin of man. And then we heard something of the necessity that such a question, although such an awful question, that it is placed in our Heidelberg Catechism, that is because of the impurity of our minds, that is because of the godlessness that is living in our hearts. But now, wretched man, even after he is given that answer by the Lord, then man, he is not giving up so easily. The man is not so quickly humbling himself before the Lord to bow under God in all his ways. And our instructors, then they are showing what is further lying within the heart of each and every one of us. And what is that? Then we hear asking, doth not God then do injustice to man? Thus, if God is not the very author of the sin of man, is not God then perhaps the unjust punisher of the sin of man? The most wicked people in this world are still expecting justice to be done by the judges. Because to judge in an unjust way, that is an awful perversion of that law of God. And in our days, then on the one side, even to acquit those who indeed are guilty, that is often accepted. But on the other side, to condemn those that are innocent, that is something that even the most wicked people in this world are crying out against. And yet that is the charge that is lying in our hearts, that is in your heart and in my heart, against that most high judge of heaven and of earth, that is against God himself. Doth not God then do injustice to man, by requiring from him in his law that which he cannot perform. So depraved is man that he has fallen to a depth that is unfathomable, that there is rebellion, that there is blasphemy, that is lying within our heart. What is then that charge that we read here is laying in our heart? Maybe. And then even in an outward way, then we are accepting something of what we have heard. That we have indeed brought that misery upon ourselves. That it is not the fault of the Lord, that guilt that is lying on our own side. And yet, then we hear about our wretched, our awful condition. Then we hear about, well, that will of man that is bent, that will of man that is inclined only to do that which is evil. That man cannot choose that which is good. That it is an impossibility from our own side. And then, well, then we begin to feel a little bit sorry for ourselves. For man in his miserable state. For man with his inability. And then we think, well, then the Lord also ought to pity us. Then the Lord also should not be so harsh in his judgment. After all, man is helpless, isn't he? After all, we really cannot help it, can we? What does the Lord really expect that we should do? Or that he continues to demand those things that we are not able to do. Why doth he yet find fault? Who hath resisted his will? What a boldness. What an arrogance that is dwelling in that heart of the natural man. Or we have lost. We have lost our place before that Most High God. Doth not God then do injustice to man by requiring of him, from him in his law, that which he cannot perform? What is that? That which man cannot perform, that is that perfect obedience unto that law of God. With the heart, with the soul, with the mind, with all of our strength. In our deeds in the world, with our words and even in our thoughts. Where does that requirement come from? Congregation, that was a mutual agreement. That was a covenant that was made between God and Adam in paradise. That was not something that was forced on man, although man has owed this to his Creator. Although man, he ought to have walked always in such a perfect obedience, yet the Lord was pleased to dwell with our covenant head Adam. He was pleased to deal with him by way of a covenant. What a condescension.
to deal with men, as it were, as an equal party in a covenantal way. Oh, that shows that excellency in which the Lord has created men, that was not as the beast, no, but that He has created man as the crown of His creation. That He has created man even in His own image. That the Lord has condescended to make an agreement, to make a covenant with His creature. Oh, how excellent were not the angels also created? But the Lord did not deal with the angels in such a covenantal way. But you say that covenant that was broken. And now you speak about the conditions of this covenant as if these conditions, they still stand. Is that so? It is. How is that possible? Oh, that is not so difficult. Because that covenant is broken, oh yes. But that covenant is not broken in the sense that that covenant is completely obliterated, as if that covenant is completely done away with. How is that covenant broken? That covenant is broken in this sense that the conditions of that covenant have not been fulfilled. But there was also a provision in that covenant itself for this very thing. When those conditions would not be fulfilled, then it was part of that covenant upon which man has agreed with his Maker in paradise. What shall be the consequences? Thus, when those conditions, they have not been fulfilled, then death that has come upon mankind by the agreement, the express agreement of mankind himself. Even the reward of that covenant has not been done away with the breaking of that covenant. What was that reward? Do you know that, boys and girls? When Adam and in him mankind would have obeyed, completely obeyed that command, that requirement of the Lord, that is something he had the ability to do. When man had completely obeyed, what had been the reward for man? That would have been life. That would have been not only life in this world, but that would have been eternal life. Does that remain so? Yes, it does. That is perfect obedience without spot, without flaw, that is still to receive that reward of life. Thus, the Lord does not take that away. How can we prove this? We can prove this because the Lord Jesus Christ has earned life for His church in this very way. That is exactly what the
active obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ is. That is a perfect fulfillment of that holy law of God, to which God Himself has attached that reward of eternal life. Wherein then has that covenant of works lost its power? That is not in any change or disannulling of that covenant, but it lies in the change that has come in man. Paul says that we have become weak through the flesh, and that is alone because of that weakness and the complete inability to fulfill the requirements of that law, that is, that absolute perfect obedience, that covenant of works is unable to give life to us and to our children. And on the other hand, when that reward of life due to obedience is still lying there, then also the threat of death that is still being fulfilled, but the demand itself of that covenant that is still coming from that side of God. Doth not God then do injustice to men? Not at all. That is the clear, that is the emphatic answer of our forefathers. Men says God is unjust because we lack the ability. The Lord declares that lack of our ability is our own fault. Not at all. For God made man capable of performing it. But man, by the instigation of the devil and his own willful disobedience, deprived himself and all his posterity of those divine gifts. Of what congregation is that inability the dreadful result? That is our willful disobedience. That is our rebellion. That is our own wretched choice. That's what are our fathers doing. Our fathers are pointing us back to what took place in paradise. And congregation, that is the place where we need to be brought, that we may see our guilt also in our inability to fulfill the conditions of God's law. You say it was by the instigation of the devil. Thus the blame that really lays upon the devil. Maybe you say that to boys and girls sometimes. When you are naughty, then you want to blame someone else, or young people, that you are looking to blame your sin upon the circumstances of your life. But it is no excuse. Why not? Because we must give an account, each one, of our own actions, because we have done it willfully. And so that was also with our first parents. They were not forced. No, the devil cannot force. The devil has tempted, but they have chosen it. and they have chosen it freely of their own accord by his own willful disobedience and deprived himself and all his posterity of those divine gifts. That was that disobedience itself that has deprived men of all his ability to make a good choice. It was, congregation, from that moment on that our will has become corrupt. And that will of men, your and mine by nature, that is a will that is impossible for us to change. A will that wills only that which is evil. Everything that has become from the side of men against God. And therefore God is so righteous and certainly not unjust to require from you and from me that perfect obedience. Though man has fallen so deeply, God himself has not changed. And God cannot dwell with sin. How can God require anything else from us except for a holy and a perfect obedience? And then not only obedience, but we see in our second thought also satisfaction. That is, man's punishment that is certain. Will God suffer such disobedience and rebellion to go unpunished? Maybe that is our hope also. That the Lord will not punish us after all. That there is no place of retribution. That there is no hell. Maybe a hope, young people, when you go to a funeral and when you see that body laid in the grave, maybe a thought and maybe also even a secret hope that you say, maybe dead is dead. That God, He will overstep His justice. That I don't really have to give an account. That it will not really be carried out. Or was that perhaps not also that hope of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram? And the hope of those wives and those children that have stayed with them? King Saul, in his confession to Samuel, he says, I have sinned, yet honor me now. And that is, congregation, what is laying in every one of our hearts by nature. We have no concern about the justice of God. Only a concern that we may escape the punishment. No love for God. No love for the attributes of God, only a desire for our own welfare. But what is the Lord instructing His people in by His Spirit? It is exactly the opposite. What does David say? He says, against thee, thee only have I sinned. That thou, he says, mightest be justified when thou speakest, and clear when thou judgest. What does he say? He says that punishment that belongs to me, that name of God
and the attributes of God, that they may be cleared before all men. What was there? Then there was love. Love for God that was dwelling in his heart. Even in the midst of his fall. Even in the midst of his great sin. Will God suffer such disobedience and rebellion to go unpunished? That cannot be. Because the Lord is faithful to his word. That is not only to the promises that are in his word, but the Lord is also faithful to the threatenings that are in his word. Or hath he said it? And shall he not do it? Hath he spoken? And shall he not make it good? And now the true church, they may come into agreement with this. Even against themselves by moments. By no means. That is impossible. But he is terribly displeased with our original as well as actual sins and will punish them in his just judgment, temporally and eternally, as he hath declared, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Congregation, who is able to fathom the great displeasure of the Lord against sin? Because of the great long suffering of God, then often we don't believe it. We cast the threatenings of the Lord to the wind. And we say, where is the promise of his coming? Because since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Or sometimes we see something of the great displeasure of the Lord against sin. Tsunamis, earthquakes, volcanoes, terrible disasters in this world. Then what happens? Or then there is no connection with these awful things with sin. When you connect those things with sin, then you hear it in the world, then man is becoming angry. Now we want to cast away those the cords of God from us. How great was the anger of the Lord against the first world to destroy it with water. How great was the anger of the Lord against Sodom and Gomorrah to destroy them with fire. How great was the anger of the Lord even against his own people at Sinai, when he is threatening to destroy his own people. And when later he has sent them for 70 years into that far off land. What is the punishment for sin? That is death. And what is death? Death that is separation. Paul says the wages of sin is death. And therefore we say that it is sin that is making separation. Death that is separation. And that is because of the displeasure of the Lord. Do you ever feel something of this? That awful separation between God and your soul. Congregation, then we read in the Word of God, cursed. As we read here our fathers quoting, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. What is our state by nature? Under what covenant are we born by nature? It is not a covenant of grace, but it is the covenant of works. What does that mean? That means that we are under that law. That means when we are born, that we are born in a covenant of works. And when we are under that law, and when we have not fulfilled that law in the perfection of its requirements, that means that we are cursed. That we are cursed. Do you ever feel something of the curse that lays upon you? There are many that say you must rely on the promises that are in that Word of God. For whom, congregation, are the promises? The promises in the Word of God are for His people. The promises in the Word of God, they are for His children. Those promises are connected to a new covenant. They are connected to a covenant of grace. When we have no part of that new covenant, when nothing has taken place in our life, then we are yet in that old covenant. Then it is not the promises that belong to us, but it is something else. Oh, that is almost too awful to say. Then it is the curses. When nothing has taken place in our life, and when we have never been taken out of that old and broken covenant and engrafted into the Lord Jesus Christ, that means that we lay under the curse. And that means that rightfully, that we may go from page to page in that Word of God, and we may rightfully apply to ourselves every one of the curses that are written in His law. That is our state and condition by nature. And if it will become different, then something has to take place in our life. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Oh, then it is not that continueth not in most things that are written in that law, but in all things. That is the requirement of His law and of His justice, that perfect righteousness. The Lord Jesus says, "Accept your righteousness that shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and of the Pharisees. Ye cannot enter into the kingdom of God." And when we enter not into the kingdom of God, then we are in that kingdom of darkness. Then we are in that kingdom of death. Then we are in that kingdom of separation that is so certain. Nothing needs to take place in our life for this to be fulfilled. We are not going lost. No, we are lost. We are in that state of wrath, lying under that curse. We are in that state of death already. And there is only one more thing that has to happen. And that is that we are finally separated eternally from the Most High God. And yet many are denying such a doctrine. Even though that is so clear in that Word of God. Why? Because they say, well, that is inconsistent. But that is our last thought. Let us sing first from Psalter 138. 138. And we'll sing only stanzas 1, 3, and 4. 1, 3, and 4. Thus speaks the Lord to wicked men. My statutes, why do ye declare? Why take my covenant in your mouth? Since ye for wisdom do not care, for ye my holy words profane, and cast them from you in disdain. 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter 138.
is not God then also merciful? It is a question, congregation, that shows the darkness of our understanding after the fall, and how that we have lost that true knowledge of God. We cannot understand how that God can be on the one side merciful, and that God can be at the same time entirely just, to be the righteous punisher of sin, just as if they cannot go together, just as if they are things that are opposed to one another, and that they cannot exist as the same attributes, as attributes of that one same God. We have so much reliance today on the mercy of God. But sometimes then you must fear that it is not according to knowledge, because it seems like there is so little understanding of what that mercy of God is in our world. That is not just that the Lord is looking through His fingers at the sin of man, that He is turning away, that He just acts as if He does not see it, that He does not record it in His book. That mercy of God that is not some imperfection in that justice of God, not some weakening of the standard of that law of God. That mercy of God that is not a laxity in His faithfulness, in His own word, in his threatenings. But Paul, he says that God, He cannot deny Himself. He cannot deny the attributes that exist in Himself, which are His very being. And therefore, all of the attributes of God, they must exist together. Therefore, God is showing mercy through His justice in His only begotten Son. Oh, we hope to see that, the Lord willing, in the weeks to come. Therefore, our instructors, they say God is indeed merciful, but also just. Therefore, His justice requires that sin which is committed against the Most High Majesty of God be also punished with extreme, that is, with everlasting punishment of body and soul. Yes, God is indeed merciful. Oh, we can read that in the Word of God. Congregation, may you ever experience something of that blessed mercy of the Lord. Oh, that will be known, that will be experienced by His church sooner or later. And then they will glorify, oh, they will magnify that blessed mercy of God to all eternity. But if we will experience something, even the least part of that mercy of God, then we will also know of that justice of God, that He does not overlook sin. Then we shall come to know something of Him whom that we have sinned against, Thee. Thee only have I sinned. That is in the first place. And then against our fellow man. Then we will come to feel, come to experience something of the seriousness of our sin. That it is no light matter. That it is treason. That it is rebellion against that King of Kings. who is now that first person in that Holy Trinity that the people will meet. That is the Father, but that is not as a Father, but that is as their judge. Read it in the Pilgrim's Progress. I have to die, and I have to stand before God. I cannot die, and I dare not stand before Him. Then we will learn something of His omniscience, that there is nothing that will pass Him by. Then we will learn something of His justice. Oh, then we will receive that impression that we will not have one answer to 1,000 questions before the judgment seat of God. Then we will see the extent of our sin from our very birth. David, he says, remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. Then we will see something of the punishment that is due unto us, that everlasting separation between God and our soul. And their congregation, sin becomes a loathsome thing because it is separating me from the Lord. And then I begin to hate sin in its own character. Why? Because it is a sin against that God whom I love. You say, how can you love such a God? How can you love a God that is against you? A God whose curse that is laying upon you. It can be. Job, he says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. So they can love such a God. And when they may love such a God, then they may come also by moments on the side of God, even in his judgments. On the side of God, the just and righteous punisher, not of my neighbor's sin, no, but of my own sin. Righteous art thou, O God, in all of thy judgments. O congregation, there is no more blessed place that we may receive in this life as to come on that side of God. Oh, what a rest, what a peace may be experienced in the soul of such a man, a woman, a boy or girl. They may come to agree with that righteous punishment of God against my own sin. Oh, to rest that God shall be honored and that God shall be glorified. Then my case is not solved, no. No, then I can for myself expect to be forever and forever cast away. But still the Lord is then good and the Lord is so right. And oh, what a blessed place when His honor that comes above everything in my estimation, even before my own salvation. Is there a people who want to go lost? No, never. Because that means forever and forever separated from that God whom I love. No, but when the Lord would receive the honor, and when that would be the only way, oh, then the people can sometimes be brought by the Lord into agreement with it.
What did Moses say? He says, Lord, what wilt thou do unto thy great name? He says, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book. Oh, blessed, blessed people. Shall they be blotted out of his book? No. Impossible, never. Where does that love come from? Oh, we can read it. We love him because he first loved us. But congregation, how awful shall that righteous punishment of God be? A punishment, we read, with extreme, that is everlasting punishment, both of body and soul. Oh, the Lord, he says, thou shalt not come out thence until thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. And when shall that be? Never. There's an unfathomable debt. And that debt is unpayable by us. Though we were to suffer ages upon ages in the bottomless pit. For our understanding, unfathomable. For our will, oh, we cannot agree with it. But oh, may the Lord give us a little impression of what that shall be. We can murmur against it. Or we can curse God. But it will not take it away. By nature. Oh, boys and girls, one time. Then there was a child. She came unto me in school. And she said, when I think about God and the end of my life, I think about death, she said, then I become so afraid. And you know what she said? She said, my mother told me just not to think about it anymore. Oh, children, is that the solution? That is no solution. Because also a child, we have taken a walk down into that cemetery. And there we have seen also the children, even from among the congregation, that have had to stand before that righteous judgment seat of God. Oh, if it never, congregation, becomes reality in our life, it will become reality soon in our death. Oh, that we may seek to know that God who will be our judge, to receive an impression that we have to stand before him. Why? Oh, that we may be reconciled to him. While it is still a day of grace, it is an unfathomable debt. But today there is yet a full ransom. A full ransom that is still without money and without price. Amen. Oh Lord, give us to seek that debt also may be paid. We are by nature cursed. We are laying under it. Oh, we are lost. Lord, we need to be saved. We need to be converted. Oh, give us to hasten. Give us to seek. And while it is still a day of grace, and while thou yet profferest peace and pardon, forgive all our sins in speaking and in listening. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Be with us further in this day. Give us to keep thy Sabbath day holy. Remember yet all thy servants in the preaching. Bless thy word for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Our closing psalter is number 266, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. God is King forever. Let the nations tremble, throned above the cherubim by all the earth adored. He is great in Zion, high above all peoples. Praise Him with fear, for holy is the Lord. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 266. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Blessing.